Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Denise Moore.
Praise God. I had a bit of a challenging day this week. Some of you might know that I work from home most of the time, but on a Monday I work in Manchester, and my job is to train and to coach financial advisors. And on Monday morning last week, the switchboard put a phone call through to me, and when they told me who it was, I actually didn't want to answer the phone. And I thought, if I don't do it now, I've got to do it sometime anyway. And actually, if God is for me, then actually, who can be against me, right? Yeah. So I answered that phone call, but it was very confrontational, and it was threatening, and it was horrible, and it made me feel very vulnerable, it made me feel very unsettled, and actually it made me feel a bit shaky afterwards. But the reality in the flesh is that we all do have problems, and we have lots of things in our daily lives that we do have to navigate, and that's the real deal. And I'm real, and even though it might sound like it's something quite trivial, at the time it was big for me. And I could have just carried on, you know, the normal sort of English stiff upper lip and thought, well, actually, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it did matter. And there were a few people in the workplace that were good to me, and I could talk to them. And I also texted Adrian, and he sent a few words of wisdom and a couple of scripture verses, which was really good. So that was my experience last week. And I felt that God wanted me to say to you two things today from that. And one is that it is okay to be yourself. You do have permission. And God has given us feelings and emotions. And yes, we do need to keep them under check. But it is okay to be you. And the second thing is, I believe that in turn will lead us to a greater understanding and a release of us as a body. So that we can help and we can encourage other people. Yeah? So in a nutshell, I want you to be yourself, and I want you to know today how you can support others. So if you need a title for this, I would call it Prepared for Victory. Because we're the victors. You know, we hear about people in the Bible and in the Old Testament. I was having a look, and there was Hannah, and she was childless and she was aching for a child. But the people in the Bible weren't perfect people, were they? They were people that had got problems, and they'd got situations just like we have. I mean, there was Joseph's brothers, and they were just full of jealousy, weren't they? That's just to name two. And then there was Samson. I mean, look at the problems he had with lust. You know, we are all human, and that's, I believe, God's put human people in the Bible for us to understand from. But I believe that the key thing is to remember that God is there with us, and he's not against us about our sin. And he's not distant from us in our problems. I believe that God is with us in our sin. And I believe that he is, when we have a problem, I believe that he agonizes with us. Yeah, I believe that he's in there. I don't think that he's an outsider looking in. Yeah, he's utterly reliable, and he will strengthen us. Anyway, just as you think things can't get any worse, I packed up to go. So I put everything in my bag. I packed up my laptop, and I got my handbag all ready. And then I got a 2.5-hour journey back to Scarborough. So phone in the back pocket. And what do you do just before you've got a long journey? You go to the loo, yeah, yeah. I don't really need to tell you what happened next, do I? Yeah, I went to the loo and my phone went down the toilet. Okay. And it was quite funny, because I came out, couldn't believe it, shake it, and then I did the thing that I thought was right. I put it under the hand dryer to try and dry it out. And then the girl in the cubicle came out next to me, and I said, I've dropped my phone down the toilet. And she said, oh, that's okay, just put it in rice. Just put it in rice. But of course, you know, that was a bit of a cookery lesson. I'd already soaked my phone for 20 minutes. I'd heated it up, and I was going to put it in rice. yeah, so. Anyway, I suppose I could have blamed that on the enemy, because that's what we do sometimes, isn't it? We blame things on the enemy. But actually, no, this was my doing. I was the one who put it in my pocket. The one that's put it in my pocket before, and when it's fallen on the floor, I've said, and I've said to Claire, she's not here today, I shouldn't put it in my pocket. So what I'm trying to say is that we are responsible for our own actions. Yeah? But if we're to be the real McCoy, the real deal, we do need to know how we can deal with things, and we need to know how to respond to the things that come against us. You see, having no phone impacted me because of that earlier feeling of insecurity that I'd taken the phone call in the morning. I didn't think that I relied on my phone. I never thought that I was hooked on it or tied to it like some people do seem to be. But not having a phone when I was far away from home, and not being able to tell Adrian where I was, not being able to use the navigation system, although I have driven that road so many times, it just made me feel vulnerable. And I did hear God say to me, he said, well, Den, who are you putting your trust in? You see, my trust shouldn't be in the phone, and it shouldn't be in my friends, in the app, and it shouldn't be in my navigating system. My trust should be in him, and my faith should be in God. Because his love for me can't be drenched like the phone was. Because he loves me 100%, unchanging, unending, permanent and enduring. One of my favourite passages, and I've said this before, is from Lamentations. And it's Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 33. And it's written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it's all about things going wrong. And yet, right in the middle of all of that, there's this little gem. And it says, Because of the Lord's great love for me, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. Great Lord is your faithfulness. We won't choose out by trusting Jesus, because he's faithful. He is that God that holds out his hands and picks us up. And the Bible defines faith as being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And that made me think of Joshua in the Old Testament, because he had his army marching around the walls, didn't he, for 7 days and blowing trumpets. And I wonder whether he felt a bit stupid, actually, because I imagine this, you know, really burly man, you know, man in the army, and there he is with his swords. He would normally tell his men to go out there and, you know, take their weapons with them. But no, he didn't. He told them to march around the walls. And then they gave a shout. Now, he may have felt stupid, but he was obedient. And whilst he couldn't have seen the outcome, his hope in God resulted in the city walls falling. And you know, sometimes we need to raise a shout. We need to see walls that keep us prisoner fall down. We need to see walls of hopelessness, walls of offence, walls of I'm not good enough, walls that stop us moving forward. You need to think, what walls do I need to come down? Now, some people might say, well, if that's her bad day, they should see what I have to put up with. And I deliberately chose those examples because they were small. I mean, this week we've had a challenge. Our four-month-old nephew, who's been fed through a tube since he was born, he had an operation on Friday for a hole in the heart. And thank God he's doing well in intensive care. So we all have different measures of things going on in our lives. But I particularly chose the one I chose first of all, because I wanted you to know that even in the small things, sometimes we need a bit of help. Yeah? So I'm not ashamed to say how I felt. And I know in my spirit that God does put people and my friends in the right place at the right time to support me. And that's why we're a body. a body of Christ. And the Bible doesn't say that we're windows and doors or staircases. He says that we are his hands and his feet. Yeah. We're meant to work together to encourage each other and to build each other up. So I want to give you a part of a passage from Ephesians. It's Ephesians 4, and it comes from the chunk from 11 to 16. And it's about preparing God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. It says, "We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." And then this is the important bit, I think, today. "For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." We need to encourage and build each other up. C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book called The Great Divorce, and in it he pictures the journey to hell. And he imagines himself standing in a line at the bus queue. And it's pouring with rain, and right in front of him there's an irritating woman. She starts irritating and having a go at her husband. And then he, in turn, has a go back. And then they leave the queue. And then there's a couple more in the queue that start arguing with each other. And then some more join in. And eventually, by the time the bus comes, there's nobody left in the queue. Because people weren't getting on with people, and disunity reigned. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul's vision for the church couldn't be more different. You see, unity is mega important. And we're urged to love each other by making every effort to keep together in God's unity. And maturity is important too, because we're encouraged to grow up, to mature and to serve the world. But nobody can say that's easy, because the argumentative bus cube is quite common. And the gentleness, patience and love that we read about in the fruits of the Spirit don't always come easily. But it's the responsibility of each of us to give all of our energy to keep together. We're not to pick up our chair and move away just because we've been offended or because certain things aren't done in a certain way. We need to have the courage, and we need to have the strength and the boldness to accept who we are. And we need to be able to champion each other to help everybody else reach their full potential in the kingdom. Last week in J24/7, we studied about the friends that brought their friend who was paralyzed to Jesus. And they brought him on a stretcher and they lowered him through the roof. And we had the children lie down and think and pray to God of who they knew within their school or within their neighborhood or within their family who they needed to pray for in order to be healed. And then afterwards, we made like a little man and colored him in. And we made a stretcher out of paper and a couple of lollipop sticks. And we put one of those pins through his middle and pinned him to his stretcher, you know, the ones that where the back ends like come out like braids, yeah? So that when Jesus had healed the man, we could turn him round and the man was carrying his mats on his back, yeah? Yeah? We need to be those friends that carry our friends on the mat, that pick up someone's mat and we take them to Jesus. We need to give encouragement and love, especially to those that we disagree with most. Not just the people that are easy. And we need to look at what people are becoming and not where they were.
That's great. Yeah.
And we also need to be able to challenge too, in love. We need to be able to stand against things like blame and criticism. You know, if you're with a friend and they start criticizing or gossiping, then actually it's in love that you tell them and you challenge them and tell them not to do it. Yeah? because that's faith in action. Okay, that's walking like Jesus, and that's touching his people and wanting the best in people. Yeah? So it's not just about being all nice. Sometimes we have to challenge too. Yeah? But there is no situation or problem that's too big for God. And even if you're sitting here today and you've got a big question mark over who he is, it won't change him, because he is what his word says he is. Yeah, he is faithful. But what's our part? You see, there are problems and there are situations in the world that are too big for us to comprehend. There's someone's pain and ache when their child dies. There's the shock and fear when someone's diagnosed with a serious illness. There's a child's insecurities if a mum or dad dies. And there's atrocities that we see all over in the world. And there's things that make it hard for us to stand firm. And we do get our doubts and we do get our fears. And in the flesh, that's very real. People do go through difficult times and we go through tough circumstances. So how do we stand by somebody who's going through that? How do we help them to carry their mat? Well, first and foremost, we do need to be rooted in Christ. We need to know everything that he's done for us. We need to know that his Father gave him to be crucified on a cross, that he took all of our sins, all our despairs, all of our problems, all of our circumstances. And the good news is that he rose again. And he showed that nothing could hold him. There's no power of Satan. We have the promise of eternal life. But we are the real deal. And we are in the flesh, just as Jesus experienced it here in the world, in the flesh. We are in the world, although we're not of the world. But we do need to be sensitive to each other and the pain that people are going through. You see, no matter how big or small, sometimes we just have to say, hey, I don't know the answer, but I'm standing by you. And sometimes we have to say, hey, I don't know the answer, but I will cry with you. You don't have to say a lot of clever words, because it's your heart that matters. The story of Ruth and Naomi, it's full of sadness. And read that book again sometime, because it's got lots of different aspects to it. But today I just want to talk to you about Naomi and the fact that she had to move away from her family because of famine. She was an immigrant and she was left and cut off from her own people. Then her husband dies and later her two sons die. She's struggling with bereavement, pain, and being away from home, and most likely fear of the future. She was vulnerable. You see, in that time and culture, it was extremely difficult for a woman to be alone without a man in the family. So she is faced with the loss of everything that she lived for. And Naomi's name meant pleasant, but because of her circumstances, she changed it, and she called herself Mara, which means bitter. The pain of disappointment, the emptiness of loss, and the overwhelming weight of sorrow. She's barely clinging to faith, and she's angry with God, and she's feeling marooned without hope. But despite her feeling bitter, she wanted her best for her daughters-in-law. She wanted to champion them. So forgetting her own needs, she gave them permission to return home and go back to their families. But one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, she wanted to stay. Now, who knows why? Maybe it's because she had a great love for her mother-in-law. Maybe it was because she was concerned that she would be left on her own. And maybe it was both. Maybe God was blessing Naomi through the love of Ruth. But whatever it was, it triggered something in Ruth's heart, and she wanted in. She was going to stay and see Naomi through. And Ruth, in turn, was championing Naomi because she was giving unconditional faith and commitment. And God did bless them both through an amazing series of events that changed both of their lives for the good. And he turned Naomi's bitterness and turmoil and despair into thankfulness, and he turned it into joy. And that's a real story of commitment to each other, and it's a commitment that restores. And sometimes, like Ruth, which is why I've included this, is because we're sometimes called to believe for others. Sometimes we need to hold on to faith for other people when they're going through something, when they can't find God in something. We need to be the anchors that are able to restore them back to God. And by doing that, we're committing to them, we're championing them, we're loving them. So don't live your life by covering up, because you need to be the genuine article, and we need to be able to show our vulnerability. And our friends, we have friends that can help, but they're not always mind readers. We need to be able to tell them. And there's no shame or condemnation. There's no shame or condemnation in Jesus. That comes from our emotions, and it can come from the enemy, but it doesn't come from Jesus. That's not from God. And I believe he does give us friends, and he gives us them to be in the right place at the right time, and they're gifts from God, and they're not perfect. Our friends aren't perfect, but neither are we. Yeah, neither are we. Cue behind me. Naomi could have insisted that her daughters come with her, but she was unselfish, and she wanted them to be free to go home to be with their families. But Ruth had a good attitude, and she wanted to help. So she moved away from everybody that she knew, and she went to help and work with Naomi. She didn't have to say what a good friend she was. She didn't need to, because she demonstrated her love. So we do need to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability, but I don't mean spewing our problems all over the place. That's different. Okay, but we don't need to live our lives in a cupboard. We are able to tell each other to tell the truth. So when people say, have you had a good day? Actually, if you haven't had a good day, you say, no, I haven't. And you can talk it over. You see, Jesus didn't pretend at the cross, did he? He was in agony and he was in torment. And he didn't pretend it was easy. He didn't pretend when he said to his Father, take this cup from me. He was real. He was real. And this is our time to be free. Because I believe that we're a body here at Kingdom Faith where we can be real. I believe that we are a body here that you can be you. And I believe that we're a body that says, have a go, and we'll celebrate with you when it goes well. And when it doesn't, then we'll encourage you and we'll build you back up. I see a body here that encourages each other, and they see the good in somebody else above everything else. They see the good in each other, and a body that's not afraid to step up and step out to be on the front line. You see, I believe that this church is a place to belong, and through love and acceptance, I can see a great release of dreams. I can see ambitions, I can see purpose, and I can see leadership. And in fact, I can see not just one front row here. I can see a whole room of full front rows. Amen. Amen. You see, you are God's masterpiece. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you recognize this in yourself, and you recognize it in others, then that's powerful. It will break down walls, and it will give unity, and that will lead to advancement in the kingdom. So you need to be supportive to other people, and you need to be you, and you need to set people up for victory. And I would like to finish by just speaking some words of the Father from Scripture over you. It came in the post actually this week, and I thought it was really apt. It was from UCB, and it's called The Father's Love. And I was talking to Chris Birch earlier, and she's actually got some copies of these, not here today, but she has got some copies that she'd be willing to give you. So I just want you to just relax for a minute. Close your eyes if you want to. Just want his words, the Father's words, to wash over you and to encourage you and to fill you with a knowledge of the love that he has for you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you before you were even conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in my mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misinterpreted by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are as countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish with you all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. And one day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved, that I may gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever known. I have always been your father and will always be your father. I'm waiting for you. Amen. Just want to take a few minutes to stay here and reflect on that. But if there are any of you who has been inspired by the word of God today and you haven't already said yes to Jesus, then this is the opportunity. Because he says in his word that he gave up everything he loved that he may gain your love. Yeah. And he said, if you receive the gift of my Son, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Don't give up that opportunity. Don't go out of here today if you haven't done that. Because God does love you. Amen.
Let's do as Dan said then. Let's just have a couple of minutes reflection. Hallelujah. Can I just borrow Dan and Adrian for a minute? I just want to do one little thing as we finish here. Now, these two are a lovely married couple. So they are connected in that sense. And I just want... Now, don't switch off here, because you're going to like this, okay? I just want to tell you a little bit about subatomic physics and quantum mechanics. Because it fits directly with what Den was saying. Okay? So I want you to imagine these two are a pair of electrons. You. Now, one of the amazing things where science is being astonished at the moment is how everything is connected. This fits very much with the Bible and people being a body and how we're connected with God and how one thing affects another and how our sin affects how creation is. And it affects, therefore, it affects us all directly as we are a community. God's placed us together. We are a family. And we can't get away from it. It's not like you can decide, oh, I don't really care about that, but I'm just here for the teaching. We just are. And you'll also probably know that a very clever chap called Einstein said that nothing can go faster than light. Did you know that? It's all linked with that E equals MC squared stuff. But So he through his theories, he said that nothing could go faster than light. But physicists are discovering that he was wrong. And one of the amazing things that they've discovered is with electrons. So what happens with these electrons is if they're paired, right? There's a lovely pair of electrons. And I don't quite know how they do this, but if they move one electron, the other electron balances it all out. So just let go of one another just for a minute. Married 5 minutes, do you think? Right. So if you twirl anti-clockwise... Beautiful. What happens is you twirl the other way, okay? And then when one stops, the other stops. And if we got Adrian to do a forward roll, which we won't because we're kind, we would have to get them to do a backward roll. It doesn't matter what axis they turn on, they pair one another. But what they've discovered, and this is where their minds were blown, because nobody really understands quantum mechanics, including physicists. They use special, clever illustrations like Schrodinger's cat, which everybody admits doesn't make sense. But don't worry about that. So what happens? They then took the electrons and they separate them. I know. All right? And they've separated them over vast distances. And then they make you spin. And immediately that one spins. That one still spins the other way. There is no... connection that we know of. They just don't know why it happens, but they are completely and utterly still connected. Instantly, over vast differences. Now, that's impossible, but it happens. And I know it's a daft illustration in a way. Just to give us another spin, that way. And another way. It's as if there's something that's got them totally connected. Well, it is, because they do. It happens. And regardless of the difference. But the interesting thing is, you see, if you look at us, we probably all know we're made up of little particles, don't we? We used to think it was atoms, and then everything got smaller and smaller and smaller, which is why it's called subatomic. But the funny thing is, those particles are all vastly separated from one another. And this is where your head goes a bit spinny. So 99% of what you are is space. You're just gaps between all the particles. Some more than others, yeah. But somehow, even though you are 99% space, you remain you, because you're all connected. And even the fact that you are not the same you as you were a month ago, because your cells are constantly regenerating. Your skin's not the same as it used to be. Your hair's not the same. Nothing about you is the same as it was last month. And yet you're still you. You've still got the same information keeping you all together. And the common root of everything they're finding, like these distant electrons and how we're made up, is information. Or you could say word. And that word, that information, connects us all, and that's what gives us our identity. In fact, if you look at space and you see all those stars out there, and everybody knows that in space no one can hear you scream, but the reason is because they're apparently all so far apart. But if you scale down space, the gaps between galaxies is smaller than the gaps between what makes you up on a subatomic level. Isn't that incredible? So you think, well, that's not all connected. Actually, that's more connected than you are, scale-wise. And that's why. So what I'm trying to say is, at every level, scientists are now discovering that there's these interconnections, and something incredibly tiny here can have a massive effect over there, which is changing people's minds about how everything works, because it used to be, as we were saying the other day, Newton's laws were for every force, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's rubbish. A tiny little thing can have a huge effect. You've probably heard of the famous example of the butterfly's wings flapping can cause a tornado on another part of the planet. That's where it comes from. A very small effect can snowball. A very small word of gossip from one person to another can snowball through a church and leave everybody depressed and miserable and break up an organization. Just one small bit, because we are so interconnected. But isn't that what Paul said? You can't not be a toe just by wanting to be cut off. You're still a toe. You're still connected. We're all connected. And even though we cannot see these connections between the electrons, the connection's there. Instantly that to that, and these connections between us as family and community, they're there. We can't see them. You might feel threatened by them because you feel like, I don't know if I can be that connected. But the thing is, if we start to learn to appreciate those connections, where we remember, we can only ever start where we're at. If you don't like other people, that's where you start. But how about if God started to cause you to like other people? Because then we would discover that we're all actually connected anyway. And we become the actual community, the called out community of God, the ecclesia, the church, that God actually created us to be, so that we could be that light on a hill, or the light that's not put under a bowl, that changes the community around us. Because actually we're just as connected to outside as we are to each other. All I'm trying to say is, all this complicated subatomic particle stuff, is that Den spoke really, really well. And we are connected. And that's what God is showing. And in that connection is this great value of drawing out from all of us that we're all front row. We're all leaders. We're all masterpieces. And all of us have got these experiments that God has got. All of us have got these callings that is going to make tremendous difference. And it might seem like the flap of a butterfly's wings, but the effect you cannot tell. For good, you see, as well as disasters. There's one small act of kindness could change a nation. One obscure man being crucified in an obscure place at an obscure time in history changed the world. Amazing stuff, isn't it? There you go. Thanks for my pair of electrons. As you go today, one thing to go also reflect on in this connectedness, that, and there's not a right answer, it's just a thing to talk about and keep us thinking. When we're talking about God working amongst us as a people, what are good words to use? I used ecclesia, which is the Greek word for called out, and what Jesus used, church, we translate it into English. That's a great word. What about the word community? Does that work? What about family? And it's just good to think together about what's the strengths and weaknesses of these individual words. Family is fantastic. You have a father. But some people have had real troublesome families. So should we use community? And it's just great to talk about these things because it helps us to reflect on us as a group. All right, be blessed. Have an awesome, fantastic week. And enjoy your cup of coffee or your chocolate smoo or whatever you're having next. And enjoy the conversation. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.